Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Everyone out there, good morning to you all. You're welcome to another exciting edition of Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM Women Radio, where we explore unique topics that dwell on our day-to-day activities. Hopefully you had a wonderful Ramadan filled with spiritual growth, reflection and quality time with your loved ones. I am Rashida Adetun Okeolanio, and I'm your host for today. Yes, as usual, we have a guest, and the person, as you all know, is a friend of the house. He'll be joining us virtually. But before then, let's take a message from the Nasheed titled Eid Mubarak by Mazin. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Up in the morning to takbirat ul Eid. I put on my finest shoes and my finest Eid outfit. Start calling up my la-la-la loved ones, wishing them Eid on Saeed. Jump in the car and head to the masjid to pray Salat ul Eid. The day we've all been waiting for, a wave of joy has been sent from above. To eat, and now it's time to celebrate, and kids can get all their gifts and sweets. Loving and caring and helping and sharing with everyone in need. The Eid is so la 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 lovely, don't you agree with me? The day we've all been waiting for, a wave of joy has been sent from above.
Yeah, celebration is still in the air. Eid Mubarak to everyone. You're welcome back. If you're just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM Women Radio. Everyday Muslim is powered by MPAC in collaboration with Women Radio. Joining me is Imam Taufik Busawi Abu Labiba. As I said earlier on, you'll be joining us virtually. And he will be discussing on the topic after Eid, what next after Eid, what next after Ramadan. Imam Abu Labiba Taufik Busawi is Imam Director, Darishada Islamic Center, Ota Ugu State. He's also a Quran tutor of the University, Crescent University, Abeokuta, also in Ugu State. We have celebrated the joyous occasion of Eid al-Fitr. It's time for us to focus on carrying the lessons and values we have gained throughout Ramadan into our daily lives. Of course, when Ramadan is around, we are always very spiritual. Everybody moves around. We are very conscious of ourselves. But now, today we'll be discussing on how we can also implement those ways into our day-to-day activities and not just Ramadan period alone. That's why today's episode we'll be discussing the importance of sustaining the spiritual momentum, the connection we have established during Ramadan, even as we return to our regular routines. We will be exploring the practical tips on how to nurture our faith, engage in acts of kindness, and maintain the strong sense of community beyond the month of fasting. Welcome. Help me, join me in welcoming Abu Labiba, Imam Taufik Busawi. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh, Imam.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakullah khairan for joining us again.
Ameen.
Despite your busy schedule, we all understand. We allow you reward you abundantly.
Ameen.
Yes, so our listeners, stay tuned as we embark on this journey together to make the most of the post-Eid period and continue to grow in our faith and personal development. If you are just joining us, you are listening to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM Remain Radio, and we are very excited to see how you join us in this conversation. Just like the other episodes, it promises to be enlightening and thought-provoking. Our phone lines will be open shortly. For calls, you can dial 07000-917-917. 07000-917-917. Prefer to use the SMS or WhatsApp message 07031756537. 07031756537. Imam. Yes. How was your Eid?
Alhamdulillah.
As I said earlier on, that the Ramadan period, we are always very spiritual. We are very conscious of ourselves. We always take our time to do things, and we see it as a period of spirituality. Now Ramadan has gone. The night of Lailatul Qadr that we were all seeking for has come and gone. How can individuals maintain the spiritual momentum gained during this period of Ramadan throughout the year?
Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa mawala. All praises be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. We beseech his blessings upon the noblest of mankind, Muhammad the son of Abdullah, his household, his companions, and all those that tread his path to the day of reckoning. It is a mixed feeling for every conscious Muslim that Ramadan is over. Mixed feeling in the sense that you'll be happy on one side that Allah granted you the opportunity to witness it and be able to participate in the activities to the full length of it. But on the other side, you'll be sad. Your eyes will be teary, your mind will be heavy, your heart will be heavy, departing with the best month of the year. The month at which people are at their best. They try as much as possible to do what they regard as the best of them. How would one depart from such a month? And such month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us categorically, unequivocally, that he gave us this month to fast for a specific reason, major reason, and that is not far-fetched. It is there in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 183, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّكُونَ, so that you may attain piety. The month of Ramadan is a madrasa on its own, is a school on its own, that has come to teach us how to live our lives in a way that Allah will be pleased with us for the remaining 11 months. The way we can live our lives for Allah to be pleased with us is for us to live it with the piety of God. We live it with the consciousness, being wary of Allah, being conscious of Allah, being mindful of our duties and responsibilities to our noble Creator. And that is what Ramadan has come to teach us. And for us, coming out of the month of Ramadan, we have to sustain this, because the piety is not meant to be there in the month of Ramadan alone. It is meant to move on. Then what it means is that all those activities that Ramadan has come to teach us should not be limited to the month of Ramadan. It should continue, because we are not meant to be Ramadaniyun. Who are the Ramadaniyun? Those are the ones that are worshipping the month of Ramadan. They are not worshipping God, they are not worshipping Allah,
they are only worshipping the month of Ramadan. So worshipping the month of Ramadan will mean that you are only conscious of your duties in the month of Ramadan solely because of Ramadan. And once Ramadan is over, you are not concerned about anything. You see some people, even on the day of the Eid, see them drinking alcohol. Alcohol that they couldn't drink for 1 month. For you not to have drank alcohol for 1 month, what it means is that if you do not drink it for 1 year, it will not kill you. So, do not be Ramadaniyun, you have to be Rabbaniyun. Sincere worshippers to Allah. Because the same Allah you worship in the month of Ramadan, that you forsake all those things for, is the same Allah that is there in other months that is to be worshipped. So to sustain all those things, you need to ensure that you are fervent with those activities that you were doing, that Ramadan has come to teach us, you continue them after the month of Ramadan.
Jazakallahu khairan, thank you very much. This will lead me to my next question, and that's about charity. It has been noticed that during Ramadan, there are lots of charities everywhere. They're on the streets, in the mosque, your houses, people drop things at your doorstep and things like that. And even there is a kind of impatience around us. When somebody provokes you, you have to withdraw yourself and say that, no, I'm fasting. Then self-discipline. How can we cultivate? What practical tips can you give that we can cultivate all these things even after Ramadan?
Alhamdulillah, like I earlier said, for those that have sincerely participated in the activities to the full length of it during the month of Ramadan, by now something you have done so rigorously every day, 1 day, not for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a whole month, then you should have been used to it. Your body, your lifestyle should have mastered it if you did them sincerely. The issue of charity, spending the cause of Allah, is not limited to the month of Ramadan. Allah made even the rich to also go through hunger so that they can be able to know, have an idea, have a glimpse of what the poor go through when they say they have not eaten. You as the rich, you have money to eat. You can eat. In fact, you can eat 5 times if you like. If I eat 10 times, if you like. You not eating may be as a result of busy schedule, not because you don't have what to eat. But sincerely speaking, the poor ones, in fact, the ones using 100 or 010 as a meal formula, or 001 as meal formula, are even better off. They still have something. We have some people that they don't know when next it is coming. After he or she has eaten this one, he or she does not know when next he will take another one. These people, they live with us. They are not imported into our midst during Ramadan. They live with us. We live together. Allah has made you know how they feel when they are fasting. And that's why you've been able not to speak and not to be active in the afternoon during those times when you were fasting. You, the rich one, you just be looking on as if you cannot talk, because at that time Ramadan is really dealing with you. Fasting is really dealing with you. So the same way, they will also become inactive because they don't have what to eat. We have to sustain this charity issue. I need to commend all the philanthropists, the rich ones that reached out to people one way or the other during the month of Ramadan. It made people not really feel the hard times of the economy. You know, it brought down the hardship upon people. We can continue. We were able to do this even during COVID time, when people had no time to go to, no opportunity to go to work. Some lost their jobs. But people did not feel it because we were there for one another. This is what Ramadan has come to teach us. Every day, do not go to sleep except you have seen that you have put a smile on someone's face. Be a sabab of someone's happiness every day. Ask yourself before you go, you retire back home, have I been a sabab? Have I been a reason for somebody's smile today? Have I been a reason for someone's comfort today? Have I been a reason for someone's eating and drinking today? Have I been able to put food on someone's table today, one way or the other? If we all do this and we impact people's lives positively, we keep asking ourselves every day before we go retire back home, we go back to bed, this will change, will continue to help us to sustain the momentum we had in Ramadan, and it would assist the poor, tie them away from stealing, and other things, trying to embezzle or do things that are ungodly, do things that put them in social vices and the likes. So let's cultivate this. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not only generous in Ramadan, he was described to be generous at every time. And you know one thing, one of the things that angels struggle, they compete amongst themselves to take the reward to Allah, to take the record to Allah. They'll be competing, I'll be the one to take it. What's that? Itaimu ta'am, feeding people. We don't need to have a party. I became 40 years, I'm now 60 years. My father has turned so in the grave. Now I want to. All these need not happen before we talk about feeding people. You just organize a banquet at a time that, okay, tonight I want people to have dinner with me. Nothing. You are not doing anything. You are not celebrating anything. You are only doing it for the sake of Allah. Today you feel that, okay, today is Monday, people would fast. Or today is Thursday, people would fast. Let me prepare a very good thing and take to the masjid during Maghrib and share to people. If you go to Haram in Mecca or Medina, every Thursday, every Monday, be it Ramadan or not, when people are fasting, you will see that some people, when it is Asr, you see people start going to the masjid with different items, taking it there because they want to feed people at the time of iftar, when people want to break their voluntary fast. Apart from that, you just come out of your hotel trying to just check to Haram. I'm not talking about Hajj period, and I'm not talking about Ramadan period. I'm talking about general period. These are things we have witnessed. You just see a truck parked by your side, and what is the truck trying to do? They are not kidnapping you. They are not arming you. They have only come with loads of food, packs of food. You will see chicken, you will run away. Chicken as if you are having a feast, you are having a party, having a quarter of chicken on food given to people randomly. Just keep sharing. You collect it very hot, they just finish cooking it, and you will eat to your satisfaction. So these are the things we need to imbibe, we need to sustain. Companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the pious predecessors, used to organize feast among any time, any day. They would just wake up, today I want like 10 people to come and have dinner with me. I want 20 people to have dinner with me. Or the person will prepare something in the cooler or in whatever, in packs, take to the masjid and start sharing to people. This is what will sustain this habit and culture Ramadan has come to teach us.
Jazakallah khairan. Thank you very much. Now, during the month of Ramadan, people recite the Holy Quran from page to page, cover to cover. They observe Tajud. This is Ramadan has gone. What advice would you give to them regarding these and other recommended acts of worship and the good deeds that you have mentioned before? That's number one. Then number two is that we look at the last 10 days of Ramadan, people went into itikaf. Does that mean that it's only during Ramadan that you can seclude yourself? Or even after Ramadan, is there a way that you can seclude yourself for days because you want to seek something from Almighty Allah?
I think that Ya Rashida is bombarding me with questions. Because that question, is overloaded, is in layers.
I know you are capable.
Righteous deeds, in addition to the charity issue I mentioned, I want to still chip in other things we can do. Let's cultivate the habit of reviving our welfareism, our welfare culture. This is part and parcel of Islam. Let us always visit the hospital. Humanitarian visits. You don't need to have a patient in the hospital before you go there. Go there, go on a visit, their visiting time, go around the world, see the conditions of people. You will see someone that only 10,000 naira or 5,000 naira will turn his life around, will change him from the brink of dying to becoming a man full of life. It is only 5,000 naira he does not have. It is only 10,000 naira he does not have. And he's dying. If care is not taken, he will lose his life very soon. You can be a sabab, a reason for him to smile again, for him to live again. Go there. There are various cases. And will make you even appreciate the blessings of Allah upon you that, I felt I am at disadvantage. I never knew that there are so many people. I am better off. You will thank Allah. You will forget about the fact that you have not eaten. You will forget about the fact that your business is not really doing well. You forget about everything. You will not know when you start saying Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. These are ways we can feel close to those challenged, those having challenges, and we can see how we can help them. Go to charity homes, motherless homes. These are places you can be able to assist them. May Allah guide us alright. Regarding the issue of Quran, it's quite unfortunate, it's quite disheartening that people see Quran to be for their shelf and not for their selves. And the Quran is for yourself, not for your shelf. Allah revealed the Quran for you, and Allah spoke in the Quran to discuss with you. How would you feel? How would you be able to cope facing Allah on the day of judgment? And you say that you never understood his message that is sent to you over 1,000 years before your arrival, and you never understood it till you died. Imagine your father or somebody you have placed in a position of respect, in a position of repute, sending you a message, but you couldn't read. After 2 or 3 days, you busted into that person in happenstance. You never planned it, you just saw the person. What will happen to you? Right immediately, the feeling of guilt will envelop you. This person sent me a message and I've not. The first thing after trying to dodge the person, and the person, had already seen you and greeted you, the first thing you will be trying to do at that moment is being defensive. That, I'm sorry, I saw that message you sent, I will reply very soon, I'll work on it. You being defensive. Now imagine you being with Allah, and that you did not put into consideration his message to you. Would you like to be part of those that Allah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, will report to Allah on the day of judgment? As Allah said in Surah Al-Furqan, that the Prophet will say, "Qala ar-Rasul, يا ربي إن قومي اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. Oh my Lord, my people, my nation, they deserted the Quran. They had forsaken the Quran. They turned their backs to the Quran. The Quran, some of us, we are still here, not even being able to recite it. We can't even recite it. And see us spending 17 years minimum of our lives trying to study a single thing, just a bit of our life, of these worldly affairs. You went to primary school, 6 years, secondary school, 6 years, that's 12 years. You went to university, another 5 years, removing jam in you, removing, striking you, removing everything. That's 17 years at a stretch. 17 years. Huh? You just went to study an aspect of this life. If it is accounting you studied, you'll be saying, my own area of specialization is auditing and not taxation. Well, as for taxation, take it to after 17 years, man. After 17 years, just an aspect. How many years have you now spent to study the book of Allah?
Allahu Akbar.
How many years have you spent to study the book of Allah? If you have been picking Quran verse by verse, a verse per day, within that 17 years, you would have become a formidable scholar of the Quran. Not just a hafiz of the Quran, a formidable scholar of the Quran. Because you will not only know how to recite it, you will know the recitation of different riwayats, and you would understand the message of the Quran. 17 years. Huh? So what are we dedicating to learning the Quran? Some people say, I'm not alpha. I'm not a scholar. So reciting the Quran is meant for the scholar. You see somebody being a PhD holder and cannot recite Surah Al-Fatiha properly. Shame on your PhD. What do you want to use that for? That will not be useful for you after you die and you face your Lord. We need to reflect and have a positive vibe, positive this thing towards the Quran. And once we know how to recite it, we don't have excuse. It has to be part of our daily routine, daily activities, my brothers and sisters. My dear listeners, Allah knows any excuse you want to give. Allah said in Surah to Muzammil, Allah said, Alima ansa yakunu minkum marda. Allah said, I already know that you are sick. Yes, you have that sickness. So it's disturbing you. You have kinika, it's terminal illness. It is manageable. It is kinika. I know. Allah said, I know you are sick. وَآخَرُونَ يَبْرِبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَبْتَغُونَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Other people, as for me, I leave home very early. 4 a.m. I'm out of home. And I will not be back until 11 p.m. And I should be back again on the road by 4 a.m. Anything after 4 a.m., I'm in trouble. Allah said, I know. وَآخَرُونَ يَبْرِبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَبْتَغُونَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Allah said, I know that you are struggling here and there, seeking my bounty upon the surface of the earth. I know. وَآخَرُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And as for those that are striving in the cause of Allah, day and night, calling people to the way of Allah, doing this and that, Allah said, I know. Whichever category you fall, Allah said, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْهُ. Recite what is convenient for you. What is convenient for you of the Quran? If it is a page you can be able to recite every day, do that. If it is 2 pages, if even it's half a page, make Quran part of your day. And you know what? When you make the Quran part of your day, your day becomes blissful, full of barakah. It will be barakah filled, because anything that's associated with the Quran is full of barakah. Allah said, we reveal the Quran mubarakan, full of barakah. So the barakah is not meant for the Quran. It's for everyone that associates with the Quran. Haven't we wondered and pondered that those that Allah used as a tool for the revelation of the Quran, what have they become? Malakul Jibril became the archangel. Allah sent the Quran in the month of Ramadan. It became the best of the month. Allah sent in the night of majesty. It became the best of all nights. Allah gave it to Nabiullah Muhammad. It became the best of all prophets of God. Allah gave it to the Ummah of Muhammad. Ummah of Muhammad became the best of all nations. And among that nation of Muhammad, who are the best? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'an wa 'allama." The best of you is he who learns the Quran and teaches it. You know, so on and on and on and on, you would see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even told the companions that Allah has his own special people amongst mankind. And they asked the Prophet, "Man whom ya Rasulullah? Who are they, O Messenger of Allah?" He said, "Whom Ahlul Quran? They are the people of Quran. Are you one of them? Am I one of them? Whom Ahlullahi wa khasatu? They are the people of Allah. And they are the VVIPs of Allah." Allahu Akbar. You know one thing about these people we are talking about? They are always ma'a safaratil kiram al barara. These VVIPs, they are always with the best, specially chosen ones, the best among the angels, are the ones that are always with them. Allahu Akbar. How do you recognize the VIPs amongst you? You see them with soldiers, human beings, with police and everything. They are always with the best of angels. Allahu Akbar. Why won't you want to be honored? And you know one thing, if you want to embark on any business that will never go crumble, let me guide you to one. That one you are doing is a two-way thing. It's either a profit or a loss. That's business for you. It's either you make profit or you lose. But there are some businesses you will embark on that there will be no loss, always a profit. And it will assist you in that business of yours that you are spending your whole fortune, your whole life over. And what is that? Allah mentioned it in Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah said, there are three. Number one, reciting the Quran. Number two, establishing prayer at its time. Number three, spending from what Allah has given to you. Allah said, Tijaratan lan tabur. These are businesses that will never go crumble. If you don't have a part of it, you have not done well. No group of people will come together and say they are learning the Quran. We in Ramadan, we used to go for tafsir. We'll go for lectures with people, lectures here and there, scholars having 3-4 in a day. You know? Why is it limited to the month of Ramadan alone? Why? Lectures are meant to be listened to every day, every time. Halqat, the gatherings of knowledge, are meant to be there every time for people to learn. The sittings of tafsir are meant to be there every time for people to learn. You know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about it? He said, "Majtama'a qawmun," no group of people will gather, "fi baytin," in a house, "min buyutillah," from among the houses of Allah. Reading the book of Allah, studying the book of Allah, and they are learning it, teaching one another. This is what Allah said in this verse. This is what this one means. This is what the Prophet said about this verse. Blah blah blah. They are teaching it, learning it, studying it. Except that Allah sends down what's it called? Tranquility upon them. That's number one. Number two.
Imam? Okay, that's our network. Hopefully the open man will be able to join us again and very soon. If you are just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM. And with that, we'll be opening our phone lines for calls 07000 917917, and for SMS or WhatsApp 070-317-56537. Our phone lines are now open for your contribution. Imam?
Naam.
Okay, thank you. Jazakallah khairan for joining us again. Imam?
I'm with you.
Jazakallah khairan. With all what you have said, I'm sure that our listeners have been able to gain a lot from it. But there is one particular thing that still strikes my mind, and that is the togetherness during Ramadan period. Everyone is, as in the families are always together, going to the masjid and things like that. While some people, as you said earlier, that some people are eager that the Ramadan should come to an end, and some people are feeling sad that it should not come to an end and things like that. Families differ. How can families in such situation continue to uphold the spirits of togetherness and devotion fostered during Ramadan throughout the year? You do get my question?
I understand.
Okay.
The oneness, togetherness of families.
Yes.
Outside Ramadan. This is something that is always looked forward to, mostly by our wives, by our women. They always want that togetherness with the family all the time, seeing their husbands around, sitting with their kids and everything. And this can be achieved if we take out, we extend, because it's something that brought that togetherness, and that's the piety of Allah that we dedicated ourselves to nurturing in Ramadan. If we dedicate to nurturing the piety of Allah after Ramadan, it will always serve as togetherness for families. How? When families pray, observe the morning prayer, they come together, they teach the Quran, they lecture one another. If it's a weekend session, they will be having weekend sessions together. They will be going for gatherings of knowledge together, going to halqa together and everything. If the father wakes up during tahajjud, during the night, he also wakes his wives, he wakes his children, like the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. When Sayyidina Umar, when he wakes up during the night and he's waking up his family, he will be reciting the verse in Surah Taha that Allah said, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا. You'll be saying that, instruct your family to pray. You'll be waking them up, waking them, and you'll be reciting the verse that Allah said, I should wake you. وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. And Allah said, I should exercise patience and forbearance in that process, because he would not ask us about our provision. We are not responsible for that. Allah is responsible. You will not be queried over what Allah did not give you. You will only be made to give account of what he has given you. So your provision is not in your hands. Allah will not ask you. Allah will ask you how you have taken good care, good and proper care of your family. So he will be reminding himself and reminding them that it is what Allah said I should do, I'm doing. So the father should have sessions with them during that tahajjud period. He wakes his wives, he wakes his children, they have sessions together, they pray and communicate with the Almighty God. And during weekly sessions, maybe weekend sessions and everything, they have internal sessions and they have external sessions with scholars, that they go to the gatherings of scholars and learn. This will help to foster their togetherness and love even outside Ramadan.
Oh, Hakwa. Yeah, before we had the interruption in network, there was a question I asked you, that is it only during Ramadan that we have the seclusion? Can we have it after Ramadan? Can you just seclude yourself and say that, okay, I don't want to go out, I want to seclude, I want to just face Allah, talk to Allah, build that connection with Allah? I asked that question.
Okay. Itikaf is best done in Ramadan
Okay.
But not limited to Ramadan.
Okay.
Although some scholars opined that it should only be done in Ramadan and Ramadan alone. But other scholars opine that it can be done outside Ramadan. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did itikaf in Shawwal. He did itikaf in Shawwal, trying to pay back for the one he missed in Ramadan. Because what we see as voluntary for us is obligatory for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Once he starts it, he must not stop it. So he did it in Shawwal. And scholars said, we can do it other times. If you are doing it in a period, the days you have chosen does not include a day of Jummah, then you can do it in a smaller masjid where Jummah is not observed. But if the days you have chosen includes a day of Jummah, then your seclusion should have to be in a masjid where Jummah will be observed.
Okay.
Seclusion should not be done at home. Okay. This is not the practice of the deen. We don't know. That is strange to our religion. Having seclusion in a room in our house. You cannot drop the obligatory for something supererogatory, something voluntary. That itikaf you want to do is voluntary. You praying in the masjid in congregation at its time, the way it ought to be prayed, is wajib upon you, is obligatory, and should not be compromised with any other thing. So if you have to do itikaf, then you have to carry along your obligatory duties, like your salah, making sure that your itikaf is done in the masjid, where you'll be able to observe your daily salawat in congregation at its right time, the way it ought to be observed. I hope this is clear.
Yeah.
And also, part of the obligatory things you cannot neglect because you want to do itikaf is taking good care of your wife and children. And for a woman, taking good care of your husband is an obligatory thing. You cannot say because you want to seclude yourself in the house, in the masjid, do itikaf, and you'll be starving your wives, starving your children. You know that if you don't work in a single day, they will go hungry. You have a daily income, and you don't have excess that you can be using to cover up for the days you don't work. Your own is go to work, bring something home, feed your family. And now you are saying you want to go and seclude yourself in the masjid. This is unacceptable in Islam. Feeding them, being at their service is wajib, is obligatory, far better and more rewarding, more meritorious than what you want to go and do in that masjid. May Allah guide us.
Amen. Jazakallah khairan. While you were speaking, you mentioned Shawwal. Can you go further, for the benefit of our listeners, go further on what Shawwal is all about? Then, is there any fasting? You also mentioned the fasting during that period that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam fasted. What is it about? What is the reward behind the fasting? And what's that Shawwal?
The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi
Wasallam
told us that after Ramadan, there is 6 days fast in the month of Shawwal. Minimum of 6 days fast in the month of Shawwal. 6 days fast being followed up with the month of Ramadan, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever does this will have the reward as though he fasted for a whole year for Allah. Joining 6 days of Shawwal with the full month of Ramadan that you have done, then you'll be rewarded as though you fasted for an entire year for Allah. Because the reward of a single act is like 10 of it. Now you fasting in a single month is like you getting the reward of fasting in 10 months. Fasting in 6 days is like reward of fasting in 60 days, which is equivalent to 2 months. 2 months plus 2 months gives you a year. So that's the calculation the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you doing that will earn you the reward of you fasting for Allah for one whole year. This fasting in the month of Shawwal is highly meritorious, and you are highly encouraged to do that. And it need not be a consecutive thing, that it has to be 6 days consecutively. No. If you can do that 6 days consecutively, good. It's okay. But if you cannot do that, you can break it two in a week. It's okay. You can, whichever way you want to plan it, just ensure that it completes six in this month of Shawwal. But ensure that you are not having, those of us that are looking for shortcuts, you are not having the intention of fasting Shawwal and paying back Ramadan. Abba, no. You cannot do that. Shawwal remains Shawwal. Ramadan remains Ramadan. So I don't want to go into the technicalities of that aspect, but just know that you cannot combine paying back Ramadan with the intention of fasting the month of fasting of the month of Shawwal. So we can do this right from the second day of Eid. That's we add Eid on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So right from Thursday, we are open to fasting in the month of Shawwal. It is only in the Eid of Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, the Eid of the big Salah where we slaughter ram. That's the one that for 4 days consecutively, it is prohibited for us to fast. On the 10th day of Zulhijjah, 11th, 12th, 13th, it's prohibited for us to fast. But for the Eid al-Fitr, the breaking of fast, the Eid of breaking fast, it is only one day that we are prohibited from fasting, and that's the first day of Shawwal. Mm. Right from the second day of Shawwal, we are permitted to start fasting as we so desire. So, and you being able to do this is a sign, is one of the signs for us to know that it seems Allah accepted your fast in Ramadan. Mm. Because following up a good deed with another good deed is a sign that Allah accepted your deed.
In a hot one.
Is a sign. But you are finding it difficult. You finish a righteous deed now. You are finding it difficult to do another one. Subhanallah. It's a bad sign. We are afraid. It seems, it may be that Allah did not accept the one you did previous.
Allah. Jazakallah khairan, Imam. You mentioned, Imam.
No, I'm with you.
Okay. You mentioned that we cannot replace, as you cannot replace the one for Ramadan with Shawwal.
No.
Okay. Moving further, which one comes first, especially for the women? Is it the one they miss during Ramadan that comes first, or the Shawwal that comes first?
Thank you very much. We advise our women that they do it based on their comfort. If it is possible for her to fast and miss fasting and still be able to fast the month of Shawwal, all in Shawwal, then, and it's convenient for her, then we advise her to do that. She missed five, for example, and she is to fast 6 days of Shawwal. That's 11 days in total. If she can be able to spread the 11 days within Shawwal and achieve it, then we encourage her to do that. It's best for her. But if she feels that I might not be able to achieve this, then scholars are divided on this. We don't want to go into details of that, but what I would advise women is that if she cannot be able to put everything together, fast that your Shawwal, because that Shawwal cannot come back. Once you miss the Shawwal, it is gone. You can't pay back that one. But outside Shawwal, you can still pay back your Ramadan. Just like our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wa arda'a, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that she used to fast, missed Ramadan in Sha'ban. which is a month to Ramadan. Why did she keep it there? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will also be preoccupied with fasting. So she will use that opportunity to also pay back. And we are using this opportunity to also encourage or advise our brothers, husbands, fathers, please encourage your wives and daughters to fast their missed days. Know the number of days they missed and encourage them. How do you want to encourage them? You did not miss any. Yes, but assist them to make it easy. It is not always easy fasting alone at home. You are the only one fasting in the entire house. Especially as a woman, you know, women, alhamdulillah, Allah bless them to like, you know, different goodies and the likes. So she being the only one fasting in the entire home puts her at a, you know, at a corner like that. She might not like it and she might not find it easy. The husband should encourage her by also going into voluntary fasting when she is paying back her fast. It will encourage her. It takes her whole together and so on. Are you with me?
Yes, I'm with you.
All right. So they take sahur together. Yeah, that is the pre-dawn meal, and it will encourage her to be able to pay back and also fast in the month of Shawwal. So we encourage fathers, husbands, brothers to please assist their wives, their daughters, their sisters in making it easy for them to pay back. And sisters, please, you should also cooperate as they are trying to encourage you. Cooperate with them, go on with the flow, and make your men, your husbands, your fathers, make them know how many days you have truly missed in Ramadan, because nobody knows when he or she will die. If someone dies today, I always say this to sisters, if you die today, does anybody know how many days of Ramadan you missed for the person to even help you fast it back? They don't even know. They don't know. So you need to make your father know, your husband know that, my dear, I missed so number of days in case of her necessity, in case of eventualities. So you know how many days I've missed, because what is, there is no debt, yani debt of D-E-B-T that is worthy of paying back more than that of Allah. What you owe Allah. So we shouldn't joke with that. May Allah make it easy for us all.
Allah Akbar. Jazakallah khairan. It's I was actually about to ask you that, how grievous is it for those people that have missed a lot of Ramadan and they did not repay it back? How do they repay it back? What happens?
It's a grievous thing. If they don't fast it here in their own comfort, with the food they are comfortable with, the drink they are comfortable with, they will fast it with duress. They will fast it under duress, under compulsion, where they have no choice, where they will be taking turns as their food and be taking hot boiling water as their drink, and they will not be able to say no. At some point, their hot boiling water may be, you know, it will be changed and given, they will be given a special flavor of it by giving them pulse, hot pulse. That's a unique flavor for those in hell. May Allah not make it our portion.
Amen.
So it would pass with pulse, you know, pulse that comes out from, you know, wounds and the likes. Hot one, they will be made to drink it under serious scrutiny and beaten. May Allah not make it our portion.
I mean, we have a call. Jazakallah khairan, Imam. Assalamu alaikum. Your name and where are you calling from? Assalamu alaikum. Okay, I think we lost that. Jazakallah khairan, Imam. Yeah, before we leave, in 1 minute, can you give us strategies on how to stay connected with the community, maintain the sense of brotherhood and sisterhood after Ramadan? I know you mentioned us going to the visitation and things like that, but are there other things that we can do?
The best way to achieve this is the routinal activities of Islam, let us always be present in masjid. Let us always be present in masjid. Islam has created 5 routine for us every day, for us to meet at community level. That is the best way to see to the welfareism of one another. Let's meet every 5 times in a day in the masjid. And we meet for gatherings of knowledge, gatherings of learnings and thereabout. All these are ways we can come together at the community level to achieve other things full of benefits. May Allah make it easy for us.
Ameen. Jazakallah khairan, Imam. Really appreciate you for coming on to the show again. And thank you to our listeners out there. Hopefully you had a lovely time with us and you were able to learn one or two things. Of course, do not forget to let your husband, your fathers know, especially the women, the days that you have missed, so that in case of anything happens, they will be able to help you fast those days. Akinwunmi goes to WFN and MPAC for this program. A big thank you to our engineer Timmy and our producer Rose for doing what they know how to do best. As we come to the end of today's episode, we hope you have found inspiration and valuable insight on how to maintain the spirit of Ramadan throughout the year. Of course, remember, it is the small and yet consistent actions that make a significant impact on our spiritual growth and connection with others. Let's strive to carry forward the lessons we have learned during the holy month of Ramadan and implement it in our day-to-day activities, creating a lasting and positive change. Together, we can strengthen our faith and nurture our relationship and make a meaningful difference in our community. Thank you for tuning in to Everyday Muslim and joining this program, The Growth and Reflection of Ramadan, with us. Until next time, I am Rashida Adetun Okeolaniyan. May we all continue to be guided on the path of wisdom and compassion. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I look, I see your world of beauty. I touch, I feel the world around so real. And everything I do, I dedicate to you. 'Cause you made me, I am for you. I listen, I hear. I hear the words of God so clear. I read, I know. It helps my knowledge grow.